Saffron. We've been here before, and we're here again. Our last talk was 3 weeks ago. I'm just going to throw out an idea in the light of the fact of there are, in the Lakeland revival or outpouring, there does seem to be people that are that have been healed. Yet, in most cases, we'll feel quite negative about the whole thing. And I'd suggest that perhaps there are two revivals going on. I think there's an aspect of being an authentic revival in God's sovereign action in healing some people, people who are genuinely healed in the right sense. But parallel to that, I think there is something going on that has become more man-made as we're going along, with manipulation, with emotionalism, and that is, I believe, what may be happening with this Florida revival. Because I still feel, I still talk to people and I've heard testimonies of people who I know who have been healed as a result of this thing. And there must be, that out of the thousands they're claiming, there has to be some genuine healings. So we don't want to make a blanket assertion, oh, it's all of the devil or whatever, and if people were healed, they're all demonized or whatever. I don't think we should be saying that. I think we should be accepting that there is some...
Having said that, though, yeah. Was there not recently ABC News in America asked the people at Florida Revival, out of the so-called 10,000 people that have been healed, they were asked to present some backed-up proof of three examples, yeah. And they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
a weird one. That is weird, because they gave them a dossier with like 10 healings or whatever, but they had all the names blanked out and the doctors' names blanked out. And all I can say is either Todd Bentley and his chaps are either sort of inefficient in the way that they're dealing with the world's media, or there's such an arrogance there in that they're saying, well, we know they're authentic, why do we need to prove it to you? You just speak to any of our, people in our organisation, we know it's real, and we don't have to defend ourselves because we're God's people.
Why can't they let them speak to the people that are supposedly being healed?
You don't see that.
But closer to home, we have heard of somebody being healed after being in contact with somebody.
Going to the Dudley one. Yeah.
And
you've heard a first-hand account of what happened. And this is like... This is weird. It's like a impartation. So it's like something that transferred from Florida to Dudley to Devon and then healing someone. Now that is a little bit strange, but it did happen.
Yeah, a lady that didn't have feeling in her arm, she's getting the feeling back in her arm now.
But we're assuming that miracle happens because God transfers his power from point to point, whereas I think that happens because God decided, I want to heal you at that point, and in her heart she seeks God. Nothing to do with Todd Bentley, nothing to do with it being called a revival, nothing to do with it being imparted from place to place, but God's decision at that time to honour that woman's desire for healing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the banner of whatever we want to call it above it. But in my opinion, that could have happened on her own in her room. That could have happened in a jungle. That could have happened anywhere.
Was that a response of her faith?
Now, I think I went to a revival thing at a church up in Lincoln where I live. And I'm quite skeptical. I've been quite skeptical of the whole thing. I'm quite skeptical about the actual church itself. But what I saw when I saw that, I saw some things that I thought, yep, there's some things of God, and I saw some things of, yep, there's a mixture of hype and people wanting to see God so much that they sort of just tag along with things. But I think what happens is, in amongst that, people seek God not through the revival, but the revival kickstarts something in them that makes them seek God.
Yeah.
It's almost like a reminder. And so it's not that necessarily that God's working in this revival.
No, that's why I said it's like two parallel. It's almost like something else has happened.
It's almost that the revival wakes up in people.
Yeah.
That God exists and that you can go to God. But I don't think it's not you go to the revival and you get to God through that revival.
The revival isn't necessarily a conduit of God's power.
It could just be a catalyst. It kick-started things. So we shouldn't really criticise them for that. Though we can criticise them for what's happened since.
Saying that, I don't necessarily mean that the revival is of God in its essence. As we said in other talks, God has used bad things for his purposes. You know, and you can see that throughout history and throughout the Bible. And it doesn't mean that Lakeland is a God-ordained thing or that it's in God's name, but God might, through it, despite its nature, reach people, because it's about the individual and God. You don't get healed through anyone except Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, they do claim Jesus has done the healing, all glory to Jesus. But I think, as we said before, they do that at the same time they are men on stage pointing to themselves. And you hear it so much through this, not just them, but through the prophetic movement and the revival movement, that these people, I won't name names, there's so many of them, that they are standing on the stage and they are sort of pointing everyone's eyes towards themselves. And whatever they might say about give glory to Jesus and all that, it's become a sort of a mantra, a sort of a slogan. But at the end of the day, it's, they're the ones that are, you know, banning people and, you know, pushing them over and throwing words of knowledge at them and whatever. And for that sense, it just seems so man-centred.
Yeah. If you look at, like, Pentecost in Acts, God moved powerfully in a room of 12 people, and none of those 12 people had much power in it. Does that make sense? None of them stood up and said, right, now God's doing things. God came in that room and they were all equal. They were all equally unsure, all equally scared, and all equally... And I think the problem and the criticism that's come to the role is because it's not a case of, you know, there are 10,000 people in a room and they're all waiting on God. There's 9,999 people in a room, and one of them is telling them, now, boom. And I've been to Soul Survivor, which is a big Christian camp. And again, there's a lot of that thing. There's people on the floor, there's people crying, there's people being healed. But the difference is that there isn't one saying, and now. It's almost just waiting.
Yeah.
It's not waiting in a sort of... It's not
orchestrated.
Yeah, and it's not waiting in a Quaker sense of just being very silent and still.
Yeah.
It's just dwelling in the presence of God and not letting any man go, right, and now we're going to do this, or, and now this is happening. Yeah. And everyone with...
Right, on God TV, just following on from what Louis was saying, they're all on stage, Todd Bentley and his mates, and they were all acting very strangely, and all in the same way. They were like laughing, or there was some peculiar manifestation. What happened was, and this bloke was writing about it in the blog, and he said, this is the one thing that made me realise that this was man-made manipulation, because Todd Bentley suddenly snapped out of it and explained to people who were watching what was going on. And the bloke who was writing the blog said that if it was truly God's power that was coming down on them that made them act in those ways, then he couldn't just snap out of it and just explain it as if he could, as if he had the power to come out of it. And from that, that bloke, who was, you know, quite a learned gentleman, he said, that is the one thing that convinced me that there is, you know, manipulation going on here. And, you know,
didn't you hear about somebody else that had the reverse happen, that they didn't believe that it was of God, and then they were convinced it was?
Oh, no, this is someone who will be listening now. I won't mention his name, but he wrote an article basically against the revival, and it's a very well-reasoned article. And after reading something like a prophecy from America about the revival, he felt worried in his own spirit that if there was something good in the revival and that people were generally being healed, and if he was speaking up against it, then he could be stopping people from having genuine healings, and he felt really troubled by that. So he took his article away and simply said, either the revival is of God or it isn't. It's up to you to make your mind up. And that's all. So he's been true to himself, but he was that it wasn't.
Yeah, there are parallels again with this laughing in the spirit, so called. There's a thing in Hinduism, it's called the lilas, which is called holy laughter, where people do this sort of uncontrolled laughter in groups of people. And this happened, you know, with the same thing I went to with John Wimber in the 80s, and it's happened in Toronto and the Kansas City Prophets and all that. And it seems to be one of the recurring things that happen within these meetings. But there are these parallels within Hinduism.
There's something on the internet showing you a Hindu ceremony, and you think you were seeing Lakeland. It was like this bloke, Hindu bloke, walking along a group of people, touching them,
yeah.
and they were jerking,
yeah.
And then you saw one of them afterwards, and they were like walking and jerking, and it is a Hindu manifestation,
right?
And it was very similar to what was going on, and I know some people have said there is the chance in certain ways that it could be this Kundalini
spirit, serpent spirit, which uncurls from the base of your spine and goes up your spine.
Is that a Hinduistic thing?
Yeah. Yes, and it's of a spiritual nature. You know.
With all of these things, we have to look at, you know, what, how does the Holy Spirit reveal himself in the Bible?
Mm.
What is the precedent for this in the Bible?
Yep.
How did Jesus go about his ministry? What was the responses to him? Was there this sort of laughter? Was there, you know, and I think one of the things that I found when watching Todd Bentley was this, you know, this sort of kind of attitude, you know, the way he laughs. And I just saw just a complete lack of humility in there as a that kind of.
It's a performance aspect.
Well,
to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's a very powerful individual and charismatic individual, but there was something that I felt that was that didn't appeal to me, which, you know, I'm used to the American style, so I'm not as, that, you know, a lot of English people get very put off by that, and I don't usually, that doesn't particularly bother me too much. But I did find this kind of I found it quite derisive, the laughter. I found it quite derisive of the audience and the people. Well, and it is an audience, that's the thing. And they keep saying it's, you know, this is the... And I'm sure, you know, when you get that many Christians that desperately want to hear from God together, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do feel that, you know, in terms of a precedent, I can't find a biblical precedent for that kind of thing.
The one thing they keep saying, and I spoke to the chap from God TV, and he said, the only way we describe what's going on in Lakeland is look at the Book of Acts. And he was saying that when we met him. It's all about the Book of Acts. But you go through the Book of Acts, and Book of Acts is about, you know, at the beginning of the Book of Acts, the two main things are, you know, Peter's preaching his massive sermon when he came out, you know, from the upper room and all that, and a sermon later on by Stephen and by Paul. And good preaching. The Book of Acts and signs of wonders, and we spoke about this before, are not to be there just by themselves in isolation. Because I'm sure occult
people speaking in other languages that weren't their own, but they're actually saying things in languages that other people don't understand.
So it's difficult to still see the Book of Acts here.
The beginning of Acts was that it all kicked off, and Peter had to say, "This is what's happened." Yeah. You know, he didn't leave it unspoken.
One of the things
I've been thinking about is, like, against, sort of almost against what you were saying about how he could snap out of it, is that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. It's not that. You know, if you look at the difference between when God's Spirit reaches people and when the devil possesses people in the Bible, the difference between how when God's presence is in you, it doesn't control you and make you some kind of surreal puppet. And there is self-control means that he will not completely remove everything about you. Does that make sense? You will not. You might be able to snap out of it, it's not the word, but you will still have a remnant of you and your integrity. And actually, there's part of me that thinks the fact that he can turn around and go, this is what's happening. I mean, for example, in Acts, it all kicked off, and Peter turned around and said to the crowd, this is what's just happened. Now, the times, it doesn't say that, you know, the timings, whether that went on for hours, the experience, or whether it went on for half an hour. But I do think that when we are met with the presence of God, it's not an all-consuming thing to the point that we have
But Peter explained it all. He set a total framework within the scriptures that they knew, right back from Abraham onwards.
I do agree. There is,
and there's no explanation here apart from using the language of the revival, not the language of the Bible.
Well, in Corinthians, Paul talks about the dangers of people speaking tongues without an interpreter. He says, don't do it in church because it won't make any sense to those that are new to the church. And there is no context being put in. But I don't think as I said, it's a double mix thing. It's God is not working, if he is indeed working, because Todd Bentley is doing a revival, or because Florida is having a revival, or because there is even anything revival based. God is working because man has created a title called revival, and it's reminded people who God is, and people have personally, individually met with God through their own heart. It's nothing, and when it becomes orchestrated by a person, that's when it becomes false. But some, I think, some of the healings are nothing to do with the place. It's merely the fact that this title has kicked off in people a desire to get closer to God.
It's almost like the place is an irrelevance because it's just a focal point for them to meet and meet with God.
It's reminded people.
Because they're not getting anything else.
It's not necessarily got any power, but what it has done is it's reminded people that God does have power.
Having said that, people would argue that the Welsh revival was a Welsh revival.
Yeah.
And it happened in Wales.
I do think that's a different...
I
do think we're dealing with a different thing compared to the Florida revival. I think...
I've just been reading about another one, in the Lewis revival.
Oh, right, yeah,
because, Saffron Planet is going to be next week on the Isle of Lewis, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
We've been, we're already in northeast Scotland, now we're going to be in the Scottish Islands for next week. And that made me look at the Isle of Lewis because they had a revival back in the 40s and 50s. And we were listening to sort of a tape. And it was basically one chap, I suppose similar to Todd Bentley, he went there to do a tour, a 2-week tour of preaching. And I think he stayed for 2 years in the end because something kicked off. And it seemed that one of the catalysts for the whole thing kicking off were two ladies in their 80s praying for a revival. Right. And revival happened. But it's all very staid, and it was all about preaching and all about salvation. Right. You never heard anything, healings at all.
Repentance. And the church
people shaking
filled
with their sins.
Yeah.
Weren't they? With their need for repentance and lying on the floor prostrate, not because some strange force is holding them down, but because they're so full of their need.
Repentance.
And that's a difference.
As I heard one preacher say, if you need me to tell you that if you believe in Jesus he will heal you, or that if you believe in Jesus that he will give you money, or that he will give you a good life, then you are creating idolatry and you don't really know Jesus, because Jesus doesn't promise you perfect health, he doesn't promise you lots of money, he doesn't promise you a perfect family. He promises you his cross and his salvation, and yes, he will bless you with other things, but if you assume that God will give you anything else, then you are being idolatry. And we think of idolism as statues, and we think of people that aren't Christians being idols, but actually Christians are the worst at idolatry, because we think to be a good Christian we have to be a minister, or to be a good Christian we have to do missions, or to be a good Christian we have to be married to someone and have had that blessing, all that sort of thing. And I think the problem is a lot of Christians have decided that to see God move in their life, their earthly circumstances have to change, and that is nothing biblical. Though God will change circumstances, the main thing you have to get right with is your sinful nature before God and let God change that. Everything else, how good
teaching,
your legs are,
how much
irrelevant.
Teaching of that was at the revival. I saw none or little.
Todd Bentley says he wants people to experience God, and I understand and agree with that, but we will not gain salvation through experiencing glimpses of God. We experience salvation through understanding the sacrifice of Jesus.
I think there is always a danger of experiential Christianity in the sense that, you know, even Jesus as a child, you know, he would have been rooted in the scriptures that he grew up with and that he knew. And in order to understand something about God, one does have to understand something about his word and his relationship and with man. And I think, you know, to say, and I've having been to other situations where, you know, people saying, you know, God's like a electric current, you're just a plug into that sort of thing. I think we are given minds to actually understand about, you know, repentance and what the cross means and about salvation. I think, you know, as Paul said, you know, if I boast in anything, I boast in sort of Christ crucified. And I think that has to be the heart of all Christians. Because I think otherwise people come to Christianity for, you know, for a, like you're saying, you know, I need healing, I need this, I need that. You know, people come to God with a shopping list of stuff. And, you know.
By calling it a healing revival, that's what they're there for, isn't it?
I mean, God does heal, and he can heal. But I think there's that, your faith has made you well. What is faith? If people, you know, some people can be healed without faith, I suppose. I think that can happen. But, I just think there's, you know, it has to be embedded in it. Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, not to itself. You know, it's the character nature of the Holy Spirit to remind people to,
you know, it's as Jesus said, you know, I'll leave you the comforter that will, you know, confirm what I'm saying, if you like, in that sense.
The whole
know.
Thing seems to be, it's almost like a heretical view of what the Holy Spirit actually is, in that someone watching that, who perhaps is a new Christian or a non-Christian, will think, this Holy Spirit is a strange power that forces people to fly across the floor, to sort of make funny noises, to laugh. And it's like an alien power rather than a person who lives within us and convicts us of our sin. It's like making an idol of the Holy Spirit, or making something, you know,
into a magic.
A magic, yeah, or something unusual.
The Holy Spirit is to rectify your relationship with God first and anything else second. And that's not saying it can't do anything else. But I personally believe, in many ways, it won't do the other things properly without having a rooting in getting your relationship with God right. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. Saying that, there's bits in the Bible where people were healed and then they had faith, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's part of a whole picture. Mm. Does that make sense? And I think, yeah, God gave his Holy Spirit to rectify God to man, not to make man's life better or nicer. But I think that's what we're starting to have.
Yeah.
If we're not careful.
Didn't he say, you know, when I says I'll leave you the comfort, that I will, he will attest to what I've done. You know, he will, he will remind,
he will
you, bring to mind all the things that I have done. So he's a reminder of, as I say, it always points to Jesus.
Because the apostles were understandably worried. They'd seen Jesus die. They'd seen Jesus resurrect. But now that he'd also now ascended, he was actually gone. There was there was a period of time, I don't know how long it is, where they'd seen Jesus die, they thought they'd seen Jesus resurrected, and now there was nothing. And so what they were waiting for was something, A, to validate, but B, to give them the power. You know, Jesus said, I'm not going to be here, but there, I will send one who will be with you, who is of the Father as well. But I think we've turned it, I think there's a danger that we turn it into...
But the Holy Spirit lives within us. But, you know, as you say, he's there for a purpose. He's not there to make us look weird. And it's almost...
That's the other thing, that there is a very, very big sort of issue for... Certainly for me as a Christian, about... Not so much what he looks like, but, there, but as I say, this kind of nature and arrogance about this person as a Christian, you know, that... He got these tattoos after he became a Christian and all this sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it doesn't bother me what people look like as much as the attitude that they're giving off as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I felt this very aggressive kind of attitude and sort of, as I say, this laughter, the ha, you know, and all this sort of the way he expressed himself, kind of, you know, this isn't, I didn't see Jesus in that. I just couldn't see. If I thought, if, you know, when I hear how Jesus talked and the wisdom he came out with and the humour he came out with as well, you know, and the subtlety and that wasn't there.
Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, what sort of witness this would be to the outside world, to the secular
last
world.
Last night, I watched, and I watched for 2 hours, 40 minutes, and it was an endurance, to be quite honest. For 2 hours, it was praise. And they were all one-liners, and they would repeat the same line about 10 minutes, 10 minutes at a time. And they went on and on and on. And does anyone know how many people are in that building, in that tent?
7,000.
Okay, well, 7,000 people in there being hyped up and ready for when Todd Bentley turned up, right? Now, the 2 hours that I'd watched, if I didn't know better, I would have thought that there were, you know, some of the guys were even on drugs. You know, one guy that sang for the 2 hours, he opened his eyes about 10 times. He had them shut. Okay, I know we can worship with our eyes closed, and sometimes that can help because we're concentrating. But through that 2 hours of seeing the way they were performing and the way the people that had gone there for their nights in expectation of Todd Bentley, the manifestations that were going on through that 2 hours, there was an awful lot that you just question. Okay, you could see some people that were truly, what I would say, truly worshipping the Lord. You could see that that sort of peace upon them. But then you would all of a sudden see another one that would be totally out of it, you know, doing their own thing and doing very weird things. But the most thing that was disturbing last night was that at the end of the 2 hours, Ellie Miller, who's the senior leadership, he came on. And he said that Todd Bentley's not coming tonight. Now, all those thousands of people were there for Todd Bentley, not necessarily there for God. Yeah. Some would have been there for God and Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and for what that Holy Spirit can do in their lives. Now,
was there a visible crowd reaction when he said that?
I felt sick inside for their disappointment because you knew they'd gone for him.
Yeah.
That you knew they'd gone for him, so and that was a sad thing. Yes, and when went just toward the end of the which was very really shocking actually, they brought on a table of all prayer requests, and I don't know who this guy was, but he was massive. He was even much bigger than you.
That's Howard. Not possible.
Yeah, he was massive, and he was coming on like a big Indian war chief, you know, doing all the actions and everything. And the table came on.
They would call it the altar, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, but do you know what he went up to? And he's thumping on the prayer request. He's thumping or something. He thumped so hard the table collapsed.
Did it?
Yeah, it collapsed. And then the female singer, who was acting extremely strange, she was doing movements with her arms that she should have took off to heaven, you know, way these were flapping. And to my horror, she was literally jumping all over his prayer requests on the floor.
There's an aggressive stomping nature to it, isn't
there? Stomping and surreal. Jumping and I thought, well, are you stamping out the devil in your mind, or are but it looked horrible.
It looked aggressive.
It was full of aggression, and you just have to question what's it all about. But all I felt was that all those thousands of people were waiting for Todd Bentley. Yeah. Todd Bentley didn't come.
Yeah.
And this Ellie Miller, he stood in his place.
Yeah.
And he said, well, Todd Bentley's gone off somewhere else for 2 days.
Yeah.
I think it's just sort of interesting that they were waiting for Todd Bentley. And the fact that it's whether there were, why aren't all these healings happening during 2 hours of worship? Why is it when Todd goes, oh, and now this is going to happen?
He goes other places and I think similar things happen, actually. But he's not the only one in this movement.
No.
They're all coming out of the woodwork, sort of. And there's some very strange videos on YouTube. There's a lady called Patricia King, who runs something called the Extreme Prophetic website, whatever. Anyway, she was showing this video, a meeting with this chap. I don't remember his name, some American. And while he was standing there or sitting there, he suddenly started getting covered with diamond dust and sapphires or rubies or something, and people were actually scraping it off him and actually seeing precious gems. And apparently it happens a lot with him, and I heard somewhere else that some of these Christians actually take sticky tape with them.
I've heard of people to pick it up.
But the thing is,
Hinduistic things, quite often people manifest sort of dust things out of the palms of their hands.
Well, and another thing, and they showed him, he's holding his hands like that, and oil was coming out of his hand into cups.
It comes back to find it in the Bible.
What's all that about?
Comes back to find it
would,
in the Bible.
They would twist the Bible, and they'd show something, in Malachi 6:3, and the oil shall flow from the, you know, they'll find something, it'll be out of context.
It's interesting, the gold teeth thing, they've used analogy of when Jesus finds a fish and it has a gold coin in it. Now, when you put that in the context of the passage, because I've seen it on the Revival site, and when you put it in context of the passage and read the whole chapter, Christ is going somewhere that he needs to pay to enter. Does that make sense? And the guys say, oh, you haven't got any money, what are you going to do? And God says, the Lord will provide. And the Lord provides a gold coin in the form of fish. Nothing, it's to do with the experience of God, but nothing to do with the Holy Spirit showing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's to do with God providing a physical need, which the gold tooth movement
Yeah, doesn't it's like that your physical need is to have more money, and it's all about gaining wealth. Because there was another one where this bloke was preaching, and a diamond appeared on the floor by someone's feet, out of nowhere. It's obviously, it fell out of someone's pocket or something.
It comes back to where it is in the Bible, isn't it? I think that the Holy Spirit, the things that we can definitely cling to as being of the Spirit, are the things that we see in Acts and throughout the Bible and throughout the other. And everything else we have to be exceptionally nervy about. Especially when it's things that are not surreal, because that implies that God has to stick to our standards. But when it's something like dust or gold or fairy dust.
But you know what they'll do? They won't refer back to the Bible in a general sense. They'll refer back to something that happened earlier in the prophetic movement. Yes. They'll say, oh, this happened in Toronto and we knew it was okay then, so it's okay now. And they'll use their own vocabulary in their own scenarios and, you know, and
that passage
built up their own, sort of frame of reference.
Yeah. Direct lineage between from Toronto, it's the same people, isn't it?
Well, goes back to what
Kansas
was it?
City, John Branham.
Before that, yeah. William Branham.
Now, I went to his website. You should go to his website, williambranham.com, and you'll gain an understanding where this bloke was at. He was in the 40s, he was the first of these healing preachers, you know. And there's a video of him just talking to two chaps that were visiting him. It's all black and white and very out of date. And all it was boasting. And he was saying, when I was born, there was a pillar of fire over my crib and all that. And then when I was preaching, here's the only picture you'll ever see of a supernatural being next to me as I'm standing there preaching, and there's some little light next to him. But it's about boasting. It's like validating his ministry by boasting about himself. And Todd Bentley is exactly...
Angel Emma first appeared through
his Angel Emma, which came from him through to Bob Jones.
In the
1940s. Yeah, yeah. And it's now with Todd Bentley.
I was watching on a great website called TED. Have you heard of TED? It's sort of various postings of academics and ideas and things like that. And there was an old footage of... Billy Graham that had been invited, and it was completely opposite, because he started off his talk by saying, he always sets the scene with the story, the way he talked, and he said, I was in a hotel and I was in a lift one day, and one chap said to the other in the lift, did you know that the famous preacher Billy Graham's here today, He said, yeah, do you know that this guy here is the famous, in the lift with us, is the famous Billy Graham? He said, and this man looked me up and down quite deliberately, and he said, I'm very unimpressed. And he said, I really don't want to do that with you renowned people, scientists. He said, I was on a plane, and he said, there was a man that was really quite drunk, and he was getting on everyone's nerves on the plane, and he was up and down the aisle, like this. And he said, the man in the aisle sort of opposite me, he said, do you know this is Billy Graham, this preacher? And he went, yeah, Billy Graham's done so much for me. So, he absolutely did the absolute opposite. There was a real humility about him. Yeah. And actually, his whole message was always about the idea was that science wasn't going to rescue people and rescue the world, but that actually... what people really needed was the spiritual side of them to be sorted out. And it was very straight gospel speaking, with real humility. And a great storyteller as well.
His whole of his life. I know he's still alive, but not for much longer, I imagine. And he's still alive, Justin. His wife died.
He's got Parkinson's.
I was really taken with the way he spoke and just the genuineness of it.
I think it's really weird. I don't know if you watch things on television. There's this thing on this week about the oil industry.
Yes.
Did you see that funny scene?
Yeah.
Did you see that funny scene?
It was Todd Bentley in it. Mm. It wasn't him. TV.
It was a TV, and it was someone acting as Tom Bentley.
Was he in the past? I noticed it. It looked like him.
And it was totally out of context with the thing.
Yeah.
And the bloke, the actor, watching it, suddenly said, "Praise the Lord," and smiled.
Nothing else came out of it.
No, you heard Tom Bentley's voice, but it was a made-up scene. It wasn't Todd Bentley, was it?
Well, I thought it looked like Todd Bentley.
Yeah, so did I until we looked at it again. We looked at it three times.
This was during a programme about...
A drama thing.
It had nothing to do... It was totally incidental. It was nothing to do with the plot.
Oh, that's pretty random.
It showed you that that had got into the secular world.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure what signal they're trying to put out.
I thought there was going to be a character in it that would link up with one of the... It showed a woman sort of dancing around, didn't it? And sort of being very excitable, basically.
Strange.
Yeah,
So can you imagine what the secular world are thinking?
Yeah.
If we're thinking...
I mean, I would look at that. I mean, me and my friend Nikki spent a long time looking at God TV, watching, and we just sort of sat there and thought, what are people going to make of that? You know, as Christians, what are people going to make of that? And you just thought, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we shouldn't be thinking about, Christians are getting healed, blah, blah, blah. The whole point of it is, what is the outside, the lost world who are not saved?
Look at that and see.
Is this is going to turn them away from the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can't see it attracting anyone to the gospel.
Does it present to a non-Christian their position in life? Does it make them think, I need Christ because I am a sinner? Or does that even come into them? When you see someone on the floor with their leg flying around, do you sit there and go, right,
I want to be like that?
Exactly.
Provoke them to jealousy.
Does it present to you the gospel message? Because as soon as the things kicking off in Acts kicked off, it was the gospel message that was explained about Christ.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's also what Spirit did. It provided people to speak the gospel in different languages. Not whatever you wanted, not bam, the message of you're a sinner, you need Christ, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Do you get that from this? Because if it's not presenting that, then it's not a revival.
You know what it does is reinforces the idea that Christians are lunatics.
I think to an extent there's a danger of that.
Well, that's what it looks like. Yeah. I mean, if you switched on the... I mean, what we were saying...
Something that's actually not really representing Christianity.
Yeah. And what me and Nikki were saying was, you know, if I turned the television on and saw that guy, you know, I'd think I wouldn't go anywhere near him. He looks like a nutter. I mean, bless him. I'm sure he's a lovely man and all that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, I would switch it on and think, nutcase. I mean, I wouldn't want to meet the guy in the street. It'd scare the life out of me.
We are not... In this country...
Well, Jesus, I wouldn't mind meeting.
In this country, in many ways, we're not actually speaking necessarily for the masses in the Christian world. And the reason why I say that is because on a prominent website, which I'll remain nameless, they got a poll. What do you think about Todd Bentley and the revival? Is it true or false? And 513 people voted. 40% are for it, and 18% are against it, and the rest don't know.
Really?
40% for it.
Surprise.
18. So there's enough people out there that have been affected positively.
Yeah.
What does that say about
there
the church?
42% therefore still left over that don't know.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the majority don't know. 40, 50.
That was quick.
Cool, that would be good.
That was very good. On my part. That was the spirit.
Well, I think so. Wow, that talent skipped a generation or two.
You've obviously got the spirit of arithmetic.
Yes. I think a lot of people are for it because they want to see God move.
Yeah.
They do, they're hungry.
But what's happened, Todd Bentley's become a hook for people to dig their desire to see God move into.
Mm.
And he's sort of become a vehicle where actually when people aren't supposed to become vehicles for God's movement in that sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you want to see God move.
A figurehead, sort of.
Go to God.
It's because people are really scared of the world and what's happening in the world.
Yeah, there's that too.
They're really scared.
And they're trying to hide from what's going on in the real world.
I mean,
world.
It's a frightening, I suppose, especially in America.
They're grabbing on what they can.
Since the terrorist attacks and, you know, they feel threatened and maybe they just need...
So it's a case of having proof of the supernatural, is that what they're saying? That there is something outside of ourselves that we can hold on to give us hope for the future?
I think they are
giving a lot of people hope,
because
isn't it?
They if they haven't, if let's face it, we do know some churches they're so asleep, you know, and if the pastors had that anointing and worked with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then the churches would be far more lively, they'd be more awake, and people would just feel that, yeah, this is natural, and they wouldn't be flocking to Florida. Yeah. They would not be going there in their droves, because they went, they asked, they checked out every nation that was there last night.
The forecast that I saw, yeah, they said their next stage is to take it to the world.
Yeah,
and Todd Bentley is coming to this country.
Yeah.
He's coming to Birmingham in September, apparently.
Yeah, impartation. That's the word, though, Steve. Yeah. It's impartation. Yeah. We're going to take the impartation to the world.
Yeah.
Not God. Yeah. It's
the
Todd Bentley.
The words they use confuse me, actually.
But this is it. They're saying Todd's going to impart.
Yeah. Wasn't there some vision of him going up into and God operating on him and putting a box in? What is all that about?
That was God saying that he was operated on. You can find it all on YouTube. I've seen it. Him speaking.
Oh, so you don't see the operation?
No. Him saying that he was taken up to heaven and that he was strapped down, that God operated him and cut him open, so all his intestines fall out.
Aliens.
And God put white... No, but this is the interesting thing. And that God put white boxes inside him.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this is interesting, because then, alongside that, they took an audio sort of video of what a person that had described they'd been abducted by an alien has said.
There you go.
Right, now, that's not me saying...
Is this true or fake? I mean, this sounds...
I don't know, but you saw sort of Todd Bentley saying it.
He does attribute stuff to that.
Todd Bentley saying himself that he's been taken up to heaven, that God cut him open, that all his intestines came out, and that God put these white...
Did they interfere with him?
I don't know.
Anal probes.
But you never know. But it's then that... As I said, they then measure it up to a guy that says he's been abducted, and the similarities are quite scary.
What are the boxes for? They
symbolise things, and that's what he's passing from, and stuff like that.
Impartation.
Yeah.
Yes, but the thing about the Holy Spirit is, as I said, it's not controlled by man, and its sole purpose is to convict people of sin and their need for Christ. Nothing else.
Nowhere in the Bible says about doing any of that stuff.
The Holy Spirit, that also comes from proper preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because when people preach properly, the Spirit of God manifests into people's hearts. Now, that doesn't mean that it's only when people preach that God reaches people, but it's more going to be about proper preaching than the guy standing up there going, bam, or get up, or whatever. It's about preaching and having the picture of beginning to end put in front of you, which is what's lacking.
Provide proper conviction in your heart and your mind as well.
Yeah.
So it's long lasting, not just an emotional response.
Yes.
The one what was used last night was from Ellie Miller, was the Shikaboom bang, and that was this girl dancing or stamping and stomping for. Oof, that must have been about 10 minutes she was doing this, and it looked absolutely crazy.
I wrote the actual word down.
Shikaboom bang.
Yeah,
Shikaboom bang.
Well, that's his
and he said
phrase,
that Ellie
phrase.
Miller said, now that was Shikaboom bang. You know,
yeah,
that was her
yeah.
jumping all over people's prayer requests.
All over your prayers.
I felt quite disturbed.
That was another story. I won't say that story because it came from another radio station.
I was really shocked when I saw it. Well, you weren't.
I think
he's
watching
shocked?
The Flintstones.
We were both shocked.
Bam Bam. Bam Bam. No, Bam Bam, isn't it?
Oh, Bam Bam.
The baby. Yeah, Bam Bam.
Yeah, Bam Bam.
He used to hit everyone. He was a little baby of super strength.
Yeah, the baby from the Flintstones goes around hitting people, and his name is Bam
Bam.
Wow,
yeah.
He's actually just an incarnation of the Flintstones.
Yeah.
And not just the Flintstone, a child 2-year-old Flintstone.
We've got something there.
So
he styled himself.
All this will sound very confusing to somebody who has had a healing. You see, now, if someone listens to all that we're saying, you know, being jokey or not. The seriousness of the situation is that there's people out there that have received healing, real healing, and they are fit. What do they do
now? Differentiate between what's real healing at the same time, ministry or not.
At the same time, in the Bible, it says, didn't we give all these prophecies and do all these wondrous miracles in your name? And God said, depart from me, I never knew you. Not I used you despite your faults, I never actually knew who you are. Mm. I was never even part of your life.
So that,
and you did
he's
miracles.
Talking to
and
the
you
person
did prophecy.
That
he's talking to that individual.
Them.
And the yeah. person saying, oh, I've prophesied and I've done miracles.
Yeah, but not the person that received the miracle.
I'm not saying
that's the
I'm not saying
that
necessarily about Lakeland, but I'm saying that we can't look. The problem is, we cannot judge whether God is working by what's happened to us. Because if we start judging God's power on our abilities and experience, then on that argument, you know, if someone's felt God in Islam or felt God in Kabbalah or felt God in reading a tarot, then if that's all right in their experience, then it must be God. We can't judge even something under the name of Christ. We cannot judge it by our experience, because our experiences will be used by the devil to convict us of a wrong version of the true faith.
But there are people out there that have been healed.
Mm.
Yeah.
But what we have to do is we have to take their individual healing and also the context which is in. You have to measure it against the Bible.
And also...
Yeah, I know, but
healing.
What do they do?
I think
they're sitting at home and they are thankful to God and they
and
are
I think
saying,
them,
I've been healed, I've... This is marvellous. This is wonderful. Mm. You know, this has really helped my faith.
It still would be good to know
faith.
Anything that are long-standing.
Still for them to understand, you go deeper into it
they
and,
have to
and understand.
They have to discern the nature of their healing by reading their Bible and asking and saying to God, Lord, take this away if
and
it's not of
you. And what's
the
purpose of this healing? The healing is not, it's not just for
actually,
them. It's to be a witness to others as well. So that's what's surprising. If there's 10,000 miracles, healings, and none of those healings are written down or anywhere, why aren't the people who have been healed out there witnessing to the fact that God has healed them?
If you look at those,
you don't see
beggar.
That.
We, when it comes to England, and we know that there have been healings here in England
absolutely.
Already, and
yeah.
we know we've had first-hand account of somebody saying, I know someone in my church, they've been healed, and it's wonderful, they're just new Christians, and this is fantastic for them, and the healing is going on.
Wonderful if they're real, but not all healings are of God. Either the presence of healing.
But how are they going to feel right now?
I don't know.
With this healing that's taking place,
they have to ask. They have to ask God himself between them and God.
God be unraveled.
It says, "Test the spirits," doesn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the calling. If you have been healed or claim you have been healed through this, test it by measuring your individual experience against the Bible's, you know, read through Acts. Read things like the crippled beggar, his healing, and when he was healed, he danced around in the temple and said, look, I've been healed. You know, measure your healing against the Bible and say to God, Lord, I want a true and honest faith. So if this is of you, great, and convict me of that through your word.
Yeah, but you know what? That's going to take a lot of courage.
Yes, I know, and that's...
Because if someone has been in pain for many years or has lost the use of a limb for many years, and suddenly they've got it back, it's going to take an awful lot of courage to say, take that away if it's not of you.
On the other side of
God,
that,
you know,
there's a danger of idolatry, that our physical health becomes more important than our spiritual genuineness. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that sounds really harsh, and I can't really... And it's harsh for me to say that because I'm not in that position. So it's very harsh for me to turn around and say, oh, well, I don't care if you can walk. Maybe that's not... It's not
exactly.
That's not,
I'm sitting
and that's not
what
I want to come... I don't want
to
come
I'm
across
telling
like
someone
that,
to do that.
But we know from Scripture that when it comes to healings and miracles, we must test the Spirit. It's one of the only things God says to test.
But we also know the mercy of God. And
yes.
You know, he does deal with Christians, whether they go to Todd Bentley or not.
Yeah.
I mean, God can make a donkey talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can use anybody. And we know from our experience of... You know, vicars and things, they're not always the
donkey.
People like that.
I'm really pretty sure I'm the odd donkey.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, I know that if, you know, and I know what you're saying about not being experienced in Christianity, and I agree with that, but there is a level of our, you know, Christianity that we do experience the Holy Spirit and we do experience, you know, God with us. And that is partly what convicts us and makes the Bible come to life. The Holy Spirit in us that makes well, you know, I'd hate to sort of sit there and say, you know, to somebody that's been healed, oh, it's you know,
no,
it's not effective. You know, they are Christians.
It's
they
not
judge.
To sort of say to
they
people,
they
well,
they
be
the judge of that, and they were there, and they know what's
but
real to them
people.
And what's not. And we have to just respect that. You know, God will work. God will deal with people regardless,
also,
and He's
yeah.
merciful. he's merciful, he loves his children.
Get into knowing if you feel, especially if it's the first contact you've had with God, is this healing. Get into your Bible and get into knowing the character and nature of God rather than the power of an experience or a healing. Because that's where the real, you know, if you've been healed physically, great, but you wait till you start getting healed spiritually.
You know what, though, if you are someone that's been healed, right, and you're in a church, and imagine what that's going to do to that church. It's going to really lift it, isn't it? You know, they're going to be just so full of this excitement that this has happened. Who's going to want to deny it?
But why haven't we had examples that have been asked for of the so-called 10,000 healings? They were asked for proof and backup by doctors and things of three healings, and they did not do it. So if that's what it's going to do to the church and stuff, present it, because if that is going to do good like that.
What about those that have been healed, say those in England that have been healed and gone back to their churches and done what Monica said and witnessed to it? We should be hearing of those as well. And we work in the media, and we would hear of that if it was happening, but it's not.
It always filter through sort of something.
It should do.
If it was as a result of Lakeland, it would, because
it is newsworthy.
But there are a lot of ministries that we mentioned the other day, David Hathaway, you know, in Russia. My goodness, we get the newsletter.
But we're talking about something that's controversial and needs validation.
I know, but it doesn't filter through. What I'm saying, unless you get the newsletter and you read the accounts.
It's a worldwide TV station. That's continually selling itself to the world.
And something that needs validation. Revival. If validation can be found, then we have to rethink.
And asking people all the time to, you know, send money into this ministry. Come on, give us some proof of some of those healings.
There was a Dr. Paul brought on last night, and he was really given validation of some healings. Well, I didn't know who this Dr. Paul was. Obviously he's very much in with that movement, but he was making some pretty good statements about different ones that were healed, and I'm thinking about where Monica's coming from.
We don't know where it's coming from.
Did the doctor have discernment? Did that doctor really have discernment? You know, was that person really sick that has stated what was, you know, their healing? Because that's another thing. Some people think they're sick and they're not sick.
Yeah,
right. A lot of things are in their mind.
The only real validation has to be from an agency outside of their organisation, especially a secular organisation that in many ways wants to disprove it, but has been amazed by the fact that something has happened and is willing to report on that. You haven't seen any of that.
But I can imagine this kind of conversation being heard by somebody who is just overjoyed and just so full, and their faith has been just so magnified and everything.
They should email us.
But how distressing it can be to hear this, you know, kind of conversation. How upsetting and distressing. And I can imagine if someone find something up, you know, if something someone came to me and really distressed me, it would really get my back up as well. You know, you go through a process of being upset by something, then it distresses you, and then suddenly you get defensive. Now we've had experience of people getting very defensive about this because they're clinging hold of it and they're getting
at the end of the day, you know,
aggressive with it. If these are true healings
and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, then we want to say to these people, look, if you have been healed, we're really happy. We'd like to know, give us your testimony, and we will revisit this situation.
We want people to be healed, don't we?
Yeah, well, we're not anti-healing here.
Exactly, and also, we're not anti-ministry. People with good ministries, because, again, people will say, how come, you know, you get these lovely ministries growing and there's Christians that will want to tear down these ministries? Are they jealous of the success? They're jealous that it's getting, crowds of people?
But we have doubts and we want them to be addressed and dealt with genuine doubts.
Yeah.
And we're not the only ones.
We can't ignore those.
It's right to question things.
That's right.
But not said, want to tear the ministers apart or tear.
No, I want proof.
When I was listening to Todd Bentley, he was quite sneery when I was watching it, and he said, you know, we're on God TV 24 hours, and he's been really sarcastic. Hey, I'm sorry to all those ministers that wouldn't give me the time of day 6 months ago, that you've all been bumped now so that we're on 24-hour TV. So, you know, he's not exactly humble about the fact that all these other...
Let's not focus on Todd Bentley, let's focus on...
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but, you know, talking about the offence to other ministers as well, and this idea... I mean, I remember Maurice Sorello getting a really, really hard time when he had that advert campaign with the wheelchair that was overturned, and I remember somebody that we knew was waiting to talk to the press that had actually been healed, and they didn't interview them. You know, so there are, there was that character as well that had got really bad press over in this country. He was basically saying it was a healing ministry, you know, saying, you know,
very American style.
Very American style, you know. But, you know, having, you know, I mean, a lot of people had difficulty with his style of preaching, but I mean, I know that you became a Christian through his ministry.
Despite him.
It's people getting offended at that style, but I know substance is real.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with all of his ministry.
But that was interesting. What did you say about the person that wanted to speak to the press?
Right, I was standing there, right, and I'll tell you who it was. They wanted to speak to Joan Bakewell. Joan Bakewell was there to poo-poo the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
And was that a
this was at Maurice Sorello Earls Court, and I was standing talking to him. It was after the event, and this was after the thing happened. And he was waiting there. He was told to wait there to talk to them about what happened to him. And I know that what happened to him, he showed me photos of him as a Coldstream guard with the... And he got heavily into drink and was drinking petrol and meths. And, you know, he was a serious, serious alcoholic, and had been for a long time. And he went up at one of the meetings a few weeks before, and they laid hands on him. And he said he felt this massive sort of like electricity go through him, and he hadn't touched a drop since. And he's waiting there, and they didn't want to interview him because, you know. So this is the opposite side of the story, you know. Yeah. You know, I know that did happen, and he was healed.
So how, perhaps, let's just think, okay, look at Florida, and you're saying, why haven't we had, you know, some stories of... Couldn't it be that the media,
don't want to interview them, they're there.
ABC television in America
asked them
to bring proof of three healings, right, of the 10,000 that they said they'd done.
Because I'm so aware of media manipulation as well.
Manipulation. True. Absolutely, that can't be taken out of the picture because the media is cynical and, you know, that is also a factor, but we haven't had any presented on God TV either. And they are a major Christian media themselves. Yeah. It's not like there's some private thing going on in some hut somewhere and the press won't report it.
All they're doing is just sticking their cameras in Lakeland or whatever. What they should be doing is showing, following up people. That would be responsible journalism, but they're not doing that.
What would be great would be if they invited people into the studio... that have been there, that have been healed. Maybe tell us your story. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
It would be wasting their time, because this is my cynical viewpoint. I'm not normally that cynical. But my cynical viewpoint is that wouldn't give them time to actually be asking for money for the actual thing that they're doing.
They do run a little trailer underneath, you know, sort of a letter, you know, all about so-and-so. But I think people, you know... I think maybe it's because it is a Christian audience that they're dealing with. A lot of these people that are getting here, they are, I don't know. From what I get, people are going there, and these are Christians that are being revived. I mean, you know, I always thought revival was breathing life into dead objects.
They're calling it a healing outpouring. They're not really calling it. And one thing I just remember that Todd Bentley was saying, to show you about it all being connected to him, he was saying, and in August, I'll be here till August, and then I'm going out, you know, on tour. It says, so the revival will continue until August. So right. I don't, you know, if he's, you know,
he's not there.
It's so his revival. Whose revival is it?
Yeah.
So I suppose the ultimate thing is still no answer to the question of what's the case. If you've been involved in it,
we need,
you know, get in contact.
We need, if we can have direct input from real people that have been healed, or yeah. So, and then we'll be responsible. We will be responsible. And if they send us an MP3, we'll stick it up on the website.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
But just get into your Bible as well.
Yeah. Discernment. Test the spirit. Yeah.
Test the spirit.
Okay. That's a good ending. Well done, Louis.
Round up. Get
Saffron.